Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You can't do this without a little bit of this. Well, today on Gravel Notes, often the unsung heroes, the mechanics who put together the World Rally Championship cars that we all love to watch so much. And can a humble rally reporter join their ranks for a one-off event? Let's find out. Welcome to Gravel Notes with Tom Howard. My name is Martin Lee, and our rally man, Tom, is on the show today to tell you all about an amazing M-Sport experience. To become a mechanic for the South Belgian Rally and a chance to get Pierre-Louis Loubet match fit for seven WRC rounds. Tom, you join us on the podcast today. So how did this all come about with M-Sport?
They just invited us along, really, basically just asked us if we'd like to have a go at it. I've obviously been very keen to, watching it from the outside, obviously very keen to see what goes on, but figured it was an opportunity too good to turn down.
How many people on the typical mechanic crew?
So for that event, they actually had 12 people there, which is slightly more than they would have per car for a WRC event. This was mainly just a sort of insurance policy to make sure that Pierre was as comfortable as possible for his first ever go in the car. We have to remember that was his first outing, never had a test in it before, so they wanted to have as many sort of people on deck just to make sure everything was okay for him. So yeah, so a 12 crew, and that's not just mechanics, that's engineers as well. So you've got essentially a group of mechanics on each corner of the car, and then there's a few engineers that analyze all the data, and a couple of engine guys that just focus on the engine solely. So there's quite a bit of a team that goes on to prepare one of these cars.
And when they said come along and join the team of mechanics and be a mechanic for an event, did they have something in mind that you would do, or generally float around and, you know, help where you can?
I was just kind of floating around, basically given any job that needed to be done. So I got to experience all range of jobs. Obviously, wasn't making the tea, but was just doing changing wheels, checking differential preloads, cleaning the car, cleaning the windscreen, fitting the sump guards, fitting the bonnet and boot catches. So a range of jobs, really. Quite a lot to take in just to see how they operate.
Yeah, I want to make clear as well, this was not come along and report on the mechanics. This was come along and be part of the team. So, quiet responsibility. How much does an M Sport Hybrid Rally 1 car cost?
So these cars are £750,000, and if you probably want to buy one, you're looking at the best end of £1 million. So these are expensive bit of kit, and I have to say I was a little bit nervous working on such a car, because I don't think I've ever been in the sort of surroundings of a car that expensive. So yeah, they're not cheap.
And the work these guys and girls do is incredible. You know, we watch Formula One and 3 second tire changes, but let's, you know, when you come to rally, it might be not measured in seconds, but it's measured in minutes, right? How long does, for instance, a gearbox change take?
So they can do that in the best part of 10 minutes, which is mind blowing, to be honest with you. They can do a whole damper change in 4 minutes, which is crazy. Obviously, their services or pit stops, if you wanted to use a circuit racing reference, they're not the blink and miss it that you have in Formula One, but they are a lot more detailed in terms of what they have to do and what they can do in such a short space of time. So it's quite a mind-blowing experience to see them all floating around, working at pace and doing what they need to do.
What was the first job they had you do?
So yeah, once we got there was literally to set up camp for the weekend. So get the inflatable tent up for the car, get all the tools out of the truck, get the car out of the truck, and fit the bonnet and boot catches, because the car had been newly wrapped, so they needed fitting. So get the pop riveter out. So my first ever go at riveting, and it didn't go very well. They had to redo one of them. So I did get off to a good start. So I was a little bit worried, but I picked up from there, so it wasn't too bad, but was quite a worry that first job.
And they had you under the car as well.
Yeah, so help fitting the front sump guard. These are quite a hefty bit of kit, and certainly it can be more than a one person job. So yeah, I've got to slide underneath the car, which is definitely something new. These cars are quite special when you get to actually see them from underneath. There is such a lot of work that has got involved in these things. So yeah, pretty cool view to see. Not something you'd ever get to do at an event.
Joining an M Sport crew, how long are the days? What time is your alarm clock going off in the morning?
Yeah, if you like sleep, this isn't the job for you. So you're getting up very early. This was obviously quite a small rally, so you know it's even earlier for WRC events, and the days are even longer. So this was actually a relatively relaxed one for them, but was still up at 6 a.m. every morning, and we were in the service park for 7. So if you want any sleep, this isn't the job for you.
When a car comes in, it's like you were saying to me, a well-rehearsed play or a drilled army kind of thing. Like you said that it's choreographed. What was that like witnessing? And you were part of this as well. When that car comes into the service park and it's action stations, what's that like?
Yeah, it's really strange, because you have to remember that once the car's left the paddock or the service park, these mechanics don't have a great deal to do until that car comes back, and they don't really know what they need to do until perhaps 2 or 3 minutes before the car comes back, when they get messages from the engineers saying, this is what needs changing, this is what needs to happen. So it's all very frantic. When the car comes in, everyone's moving, there's a lot of going on, a lot of people moving around everywhere, and you just sort of wonder how they don't trip over each other. But somehow everyone seems to know what they're doing, where they are, who's doing what, at any second of that service. So it was quite mind-blowing to watch, and also for me, I was just trying to make sure I didn't get in the way, because obviously I'm not as rehearsed as these guys, so I was just making sure that I didn't get in the way of anyone or cause any dramas. But yeah, it's just, as you say, it's choreographed. They practice this day in, day out in the workshop, so they've got it absolutely nailed. But when you're actually in the moment, it is genuinely amazing. Like, it goes by, the service goes by so fast. But yet, when you look around, everyone looks like they were sort of working in slow motion in a weird way, because they just know what they're doing. And there's a lot of chatter, a lot of people, you know, there are people underneath the car, people on top of the car. It's all action stations. So it's actually quite... I found it quite mind-blowing just how this is so well organized. And if you can imagine, if there was a real massive drama, like, it would be an incredible thing to watch.
Safety is a huge priority. These Rally One cars have got a very high voltage hybrid system. First up, you spoke to e-safety engineer Michael Lemonnier about how to keep you guys safe.
So Michael, one of the first things that I was told to me before I came here to learn about all the mechanicking on the Ford Rally One Puma was the hybrid technology, which is new for this year. Obviously a lot of safety implications, as we can see with this green cone and green lights. Can you just explain why we have those and what's the reason behind it?
Yeah, so because the hybrid output 700 volts, that is very dangerous if not properly understood or identified. So the hybrid itself will send out messages to the rest of the car, which tells us what state it is in. So if it's got a green light, that means that the car is electrically safe and there's nothing wrong with the hybrid. It's just the same as any other internal combustion engine car. The lights can change, so if it does detect an electrical fault or perhaps an overheating issue, it will change to red. At that point, you need to get people away from the car and make sure that they don't touch it. They need to have specialized PPE and equipment, because it is dangerous. You could potentially have an entirely live chassis. The lights also can turn off. Once the car is powered off, they'll remain on for about 15 minutes, but then eventually they will run out of power, so the lights will turn off. That's where we have the cones. When it's in the service area, and there's also a board at the front when the car's waiting at the beginning of stages, you've got those so people know that when the car was turned off, it was in a green state, so it should still be safe. You can generally assume that there isn't a reason for it to change if the car hasn't moved or been powered up. So that's just a way that we can communicate with everyone around, is the car safe and was it safe when it was last switched off?
Okay, so what he was saying there is that, you know, in theory it can't go wrong, but they do have fail-safe. Did you have to do any kind of pre-training before you travelled?
Yeah, there's actually before we could even sort of get the okay to go to Belgium, I had to do this briefing course about e-safety and hybrid safety. So there was a lot of work that goes involved just to make sure you're aware of all the dangers and how to best look after yourself and your crew members. Because let's be honest, these cars do put out 750 volts, and if you're not on it or know exactly what sort of state the car is in, whether it's got its green cone to say you can touch it or the red lights to say don't touch it, you know, that is important to know, because you know you could end up having a very serious injury or even perhaps losing your life if you touch one of these cars and it's live. So yeah, there's a lot of training that goes involved. For example, they have special rubber mats they put down to stand on if they need to touch the car when it's in a state like that. There's also a carbon fiber hook that they carry with them that you can hook someone out of the way of the car if they've accidentally touched it while it's live or something like that. So there's a lot of thought that goes into this, but obviously it's important because safety is paramount, and with this new technology everyone needs to be across it before they work with it and make sure there's no trouble.
I'd say to all of our listeners, go and check out the video as well, because it's great to talk to you about it on the podcast, but it's great to actually have a look as well. The mechanics in the background were always larking around or throwing stuff at your head when you were trying to present a link to camera. You spoke to a couple of Charlies, Charlie Shuttleworth, a three-month technician at M Sport, and Charlie Reynolds. He's got the RXS accent here as the gearbox technician. Have a listen to this.
I started out as a mechanic when I was about 16. Always loved messing about with cars and thought, the next logical step really. So I got an apprenticeship and did that for 7 years and had a great time, learned how to get on spanners and that and do all kinds of stuff, and started trying to take it to the next level and managed to get a job at M Sport. So yeah, it's all worked out pretty good.
Has being a motorsport mechanic something you always dreamed about doing, or was it just in general you just like working on cars?
I've always wanted to come here, to be fair. I did plan on applying for the job when I was about 18, but I thought I'd get some more experience first, and yeah, it seemed to pay off, to be fair. Managed to come straight here and they've put me on the WRC team, and yeah, it's all going really well.
And how many months have you been here?
3 months now.
From what I've seen, there's quite a bit of banter that goes on between you guys. You know, you like to take the mickey out of each other, but it's all done in sort of jest.
No, we don't actually like it. No, it's just making jokes, seems to make it a little bit easier.
Yeah. I took a bit of a strange path. I've always been into cars and motorsport. I've done a bit when I was younger doing it. I then went off and did a degree in mechanical engineering. Did that, got an internship for a P2 team. Did that for a season, ELMS and Le Mans. Went off and got a real job for a while. And then this opportunity came back up. I'd applied for it before, pre-COVID, and I kind of got in through the transmission side.
What's it like to work on the WRC cars? Obviously, you guys are sort of renowned for being really quick and being able to change bits of pieces on the cars. Like, what is it? How tough is it? How easy is it?
The way the cars are designed, they're built to come in bits very quickly. Obviously, we don't have a large amount of time to take them in bits, so you've got to concentrate and make sure everything you're doing is nice and efficient and clean, and you're not having to go back and double check stuff. So it's just doing it again and again and getting the process really fined out. And but the more times you do it, they get smoother every time, basically. So yeah.
You make it look very easy, but there's a lot of work that goes on. And like, if someone else from the outside came and watched you guys, they'd be sort of mesmerised at what you can do.
We're never going at something for the first time, though. So it's all been quite practiced, you know.
Yeah, we've done it like God knows how many times at the workshop beforehand, where it's nice and, you know, methodical, and you do it nice and slowly and make sure it's all right. So then when you can come out here and do it really quickly, it looks quite impressive.
So what is that camaraderie like? Because, you know, you're coming into a tight-knit unit. You're the journalist that writes the stories about rally, sometimes complimentary. Sometimes you've got to be critical where it's needed. So you were definitely the outsider, but they looked like they really kind of took you under their wing and gave you a hard time, which, much like brothers and sisters that love each other, that is a way of showing love, was to sort of pick on you a little bit. But it was all in good humour, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I think they quite enjoyed having a new person to, you know, perhaps pick on or have a bit of a laugh with. But in all seriousness, they were really, really lovely people, to be honest with you. They had all the time I could want, really, to talk to them. And they, you know, if I could ask them a question, they'd happily show me how they did a job or explain to me how they work. And I think they really enjoyed having someone to share their story with, because it's not a story that gets a lot of airtime. So I think they were very keen to have me on board, and certainly the camaraderie is excellent. It's one of the most enjoyable experiences I think I've had in my 15-year career doing motorsport journalism, because you get to see a lot of different things, but very rarely do you get to experience that sort of camaraderie and teamwork ethic that goes on. There's lots of jokes, lots of banter. It was just a very enjoyable experience, very, very fun. And yeah, they threw a couple of things at my head while I was trying to piece of the camera, but as you say, it was just a bit of banter, as they call it, good crack. That's their term they use, but
that's a good crack.
Honestly, they're really great people. I couldn't have asked for better crew people to work with, to be honest. They looked after me well, taught me lots of things, and I have to say I learned so much more about that side of the process and just how important it is, because it's really quite staggering, like what they go through and what has to be done to get these cars on the road.
And talk about staggering, putting a car together that's been from the bottom of a lake. You talk to senior technician Gary Barker. He's been at M Sport his entire career, 22 years, and he was in charge over the weekend. Let's have a listen to you talking to him now.
I did my work experience there, basically because John Steele's wife worked at the school I went to. And she basically said, oh, you know, you're obviously interested in cars, would you like to go here? And that's how my work experience came about. And then they were moving from Malcolm's house to Dovenby. So they came back to me after I'd done my work experience and offered me the job, basically.
It's obviously motorsport, and same for us as journalists, it's always described as quite a glamorous role, but it's actually, it's not always like that. It is quite hard work, isn't it?
The likes of today, the sun shining and we're pretty much nearly finished, you know, it's dinner time. So you do get easy days.
It's not a job if you want to sleep, is it, really? Basically, there are a lot of long days, early mornings, late nights.
Yes, I mean, in Monte Carlo, the first service on the Thursday or Friday, whenever it was, whichever the first day, we obviously had a few issues, so there was a bit of to and fro and a bit of problem solving, but it basically meant that we delayed the start of the car's service for as long as we could before we had to have them checked into Parc Fermé. But that meant that our time in bed was about an hour and a half that evening before back up and do another long day again. So that's just one example of how little time you can get in bed.
But you do it because you love it, right?
I still do love it despite some ups and downs, but yeah, obviously I haven't left, and it, I think I find it very hard to do something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a part of my life for longer than I went to school, so yeah, I don't know any different, but it still excites me.
How many years have you been at Enstrom?
This year's 22, so a long time.
Yeah. I guess, had you had ambitions as a child to be a motorsport mechanic, or where did it come from?
I didn't have ambitions as a child to be a motorsport mechanic. To be honest, I didn't know a lot about motorsport until I actually got into the job of a motorsport technician. But I did have an interest in cars and motor vehicles and anything with engines and stuff like that, so the background to it was there, but it just got sort of pushed in the right direction, shall we say.
One of the sort of classic cases of, you know, seeing from the outside, everyone sees the rally mechanics as pretty superhuman, really, because you can change so many things so quickly.
Yeah.
Explain how that works. And I guess one of the best scenarios was Oitanak in 2015 in Mexico, where he's gone into a lake, which is probably the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the car is designed and built around being quick, and you can't always have the flexibility to change everything easily, but we do try and have we try and take into account a little bit that we are going to change gearbox, you are going to change front arms, suspension components, blah blah blah, you know, so there is a little bit of emphasis on that when we design a car, especially from the mechanics like point of view, so to try and make it effective in all areas, because at the end of the day it's great being fast on stages, but if you lose the time in servicing, then you know it kind of counteracts what you're trying to achieve. But yeah, like everything's sort of made to be changeable effectively.
And talk us through that Tanak scenario, because I guess, like, as you were involved in that project, what a recovery.
Yeah, so obviously we were stood on the first morning Friday. I spent a bit of time in the container watching the stage times and stuff, and basically it all went a bit quiet. Nobody seemed to know what had happened. We knew there'd been an accident, but then when the next guy got to the finish line was asked if they'd seen him, we were like, no, we've not seen him. So, you know, the helicopter was out and they couldn't see it, and then I think it was probably a very short period of time, but it felt like a lifetime before we actually knew, oh, the car's going late, but they are actually, they're both out of the car and okay. Obviously we thought, well, you know, that's it, you know. We're never going to, I mean, will we even see the car? Was the first sort of thing, you know. Are we going to get it back? Are we going to see it? Blah, blah, blah. Let alone, did we ever think that we'd even attempt to try and super rally it? But as the day went on, the rally obviously went on, and they sent the divers in to get the car. Miguel and Matthew, they went out. It's two mechanics, they went out to retrieve the car with the divers, so they were there. And eventually, after 8 or 10 hours, it got recovered. And so it was obviously getting on the day. I think he was quite late by the time the guy even made it back to the service. But the boss basically said, like, yeah, we're gonna have a go at super rallying if everybody's up for it. So that's what we did. Obviously, when we got the car in the bay and got it on stands and stuff, and we set off to work on it, we sort of had a bit of a base plan as to what we'd need to do, but that obviously changed as we went along, because we found other problems. Like, we took the top plates off the fuel tank, and the fuel tank was full of water, so then we had to change the fuel tank, so that wasn't really in the plan. We thought that might happen, but we weren't 100% sure, so then it was like, right, fuel tank out, okay, you've got 3 hours. But basically we had a semi-stripped car, because there was no interior left in it, there was no cooling package on the front left on it. We took all the charge system off the turbo. It was basically the remnants of what of an engine left in the shell, and that was basically it. So yeah, it was a fair challenge that actually turned out pretty good.
Is that the biggest thing you've ever had to deal with in terms of trying to repair?
There's been some big repair jobs, but to bring something back from 10 hours at the bottom of a lake is definitely up there with an achievement.
So an amazing set of stories there from Gary Barker, senior technician at M Sport. That wraps up the interviews that you did while you were away. Go check out the video. Go and read what Tom has written for online in the magazine as well. So you're just about recovered. They worked you hard, but it was an amazing experience. Would you do it again?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was really good fun. And obviously, it was quite, trepidation. I've not really... I'm probably one of the least practical people you'll come across. I'm pretty useless when it comes to stuff like that. I'm much more at home typing or creating video or something like that. So, yeah, I'm not exactly the best candidate for that role. And they did tell me politely, yeah, stick to your day job. So, I would definitely do it again. It was really, really good experience. And I think you can learn a lot that can be applied to your own job in terms of the way they work as a team. I took a lot away from that. And I think maybe we could apply it here, which is something I wasn't expecting, to be honest.
Well, that's some amazing interviews, Tom, that you've done and brought us today on the podcast. Thank you very much once again. Check out Inside the World of a WRC Mechanic video online right now. Check out Tom's writing. And, of course, follow us this weekend for all of our Rally Croatia coverage. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. And if this has whetted your appetite for some WRC action in the flesh, head over to motorsporttickets.com to check out their latest offers. Motorsport Tickets provides a range of experiences covering the diverse WRC calendar. You know, if it's the ultra-fast tarmac of Croatia that you love, or the tough terrain of Sardinia, or the iconic jump-laden roads of Finland, or the next round after Croatia in Portugal, the 22nd of May, whatever your flavour of rally is, or maybe it's a little bit of everything, you can get general admission tickets and even luxury VIP tailor-made experiences at Motorsport Tickets. They are your gateway to the WRC. VIP experiences delivered by the official WRC hospitality agency, European Sport Communication, includes service park access and the opportunity to go behind the scenes at the top WRC teams and much more. So if you've heard us talking about the service park on today's podcast and want to see with your own eyes what it's all about, and life is about experiences right after the couple of years that we've all had to get back on the road and see and experience things, and make sure you check out all the information and start your WRC journey at motorsporttickets.com. We want to thank them for helping us make this podcast today. Thank you for listening, and check out the podcast either Monday night or Tuesday morning with Tom's full review of Rally Croatia. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
I love the playoffs.
Anything can happen.
But the best part? It's like bonus football. And bonus football means betting bonuses with Gambit DC. For a limited time, you can get boosted deposits by 57%, up to $1,000 on the Gambit DC app, and up to a 57% multi-sport parlay boost at Gambit DC retail locations. It's the most exciting time to be a fan. So make your play and get the home field advantage with Gambit DC.
Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply. Please bet responsibly.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.